Okay, as I was saying, the title of our sermon is Come Out From Among Them. Come Out From Among Them. Now, we had a sermon that was close to that title a while back, so let us not confuse the two. But this is coming from the 9th chapter of Jeremiah. And as we go into it, Jeremiah here is talking about his people, what's about to happen and what's happening around them. And sometime in life, when you see things going on among with your family members and with people that you know, and just some things that you're very, very close to, and it's not right, and sometimes there's not very, very much you can do about it, and they won't listen, and things, you hate to see things devolve to such a point that you just want to get away. That's why a lot of preachers leave churches, a lot of men leave home, women divorce or kill their children or just escape from the situation, because mentally it's so much for the mind to absorb. And a lot of times people don't understand that you're not being hard, cold, or calculated with them. It's just that you hate to see them come to that end. Whether it's your children that are not doing as you tell them to, you foresee what's going to happen or what's happening in their marriage, in their lives, or your parents, or just the people around you, and it just makes you want to just go hide somewhere. And that's the way the prophet was feeling this morning. And we in the midst of this catastrophe that happened on the East Coast. And a lot of time God brings things into our lives, calamities in our lives, and it rains on the just and the unjust. As our opening scripture says about the 18 on whom the tower at Siloam fell, he says, and slew them. Do you think that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? Unless, he says, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall likewise all perish. Coming out of it. Well, what happens is, a few years back with the Katrina storm, a lot of people talked about New Orleans and what type city New Orleans was and the devastation that was wrought. But within that city, God had a lot of good people. God had a lot of people and things that were right. But as things happened, a lot of the preachers during that time, a lot of people came out and said it was because of the decadence parade, that it was because of the filth, it was because of the lifestyles of the New Orleans, it was because of the wickedness, the witchcraft, or what all was going on in that city or whatever. We see the same thing happen again on the East Coast, but I hadn't been listening at television that much, and the preachers that I do listen at on sermon audio or something, I hadn't heard any recent sermons because of what we're on now. But I don't know if it's to the level of their saying the same thing that they said would happen when it happened with New Orleans. But we know on the Jersey coast there you have a lot of that stuff with the Donald Trump, Taj Mahal, with all those casinos and things that he have on that coast. But those were some of the people that were instrumental in saying, talking about God. But they really didn't believe in God. Those were where Chris Christie was, the governor there. And just a few weeks back, he was talking against the president, and they were saying a whole lot of things against him. And what we have to realize is that we in a nation, as we can't say Babylon is a church. Babylon was a nation. And when God speaks in Revelation, he says, come out of her, my people. I don't think he was talking necessarily about a physical coming out of. Just like the nation of America, I don't think he's saying physically we need to do it. One of the movie stars said that they were going to leave the United States or whatever. I don't think he meaning leave it physically. I think he means spiritually. I don't think it's geographical. I mean, he means to be set apart. Be ye separate.
come out from among them. In other words, partaking and living as though they live and doing as the world does, because we see that these are contemptible times with contemptible and corrupt people, and the whole nation is corrupt. We're speaking as a whole, just like he spoke of Judah, as Judah was corrupt. It was gone. During the time of Jesus, Jesus was talking about Jerusalem, and he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I weep over you." And it's like a hen with a brood of chicks. Would he have wanted them just to come and huddle around him so that he can protect them? But they would not listen. They would not take heed. How many times have we talked with our family members, with our children? They go to different churches. They live different lives. And we just preach and evangelize and speak the gospel to them. But it's though that they're not hearing. And if we're getting a strong spiritual contact from God, as Jeremiah was, he was getting revelations and he was getting word from God, and he saw where the nation was headed to. And we should be able to see that in this day if we're some of God's people, because those of God understand God, and he do have them with an inkling, with an idea, revelation. That's what we have to receive, a revelation from Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 9, he says, "Oh, that my eyes, my head were waters, and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." That they're getting killed on the streets. We see young men getting killed on the streets. We see them involved in drug deals. We see them involved in all kinds of wickedness and evilness. And we ourselves say, "I'm glad that I'm not a part of this younger generation, a part of this older generation that lives as the people live today." But he was weeping and crying for the state of the condition that the nation had devolved to. Mankind had degenerated in Judah to a state in which he couldn't be trusted. He couldn't be trusted. And Jesus had told us in the latter days that our foes, our enemies would be those of our own households. That the fathers and the mothers and the children, it wasn't a trusting state that we were going to be in. And we know that today because a lot of us, we have that paternal or that maternal instinct for our brothers and sisters, but we know that some of them are conniving. Some of them are just wicked. You need to keep your eye on. You need to walk circumspect. I don't care how close they are to you. You need to take heed of them, because some of them, I don't know what religions they're given to. I don't know what idols they serve, but it's not trusting of them. You don't trust your kids too much. Don't trust your parents too much. I was telling my wife the other day while I was reading in the paper where this young mother stabbed her 7-year-old son 100 times and cut the throat of the 5-year-old young lady that was watching, cut her throat also. We're living in a day and time where you just find people dashed, throwed away in trunks, throwed away, killed, destroyed, and mangled. And a lot of times it's the ones within their own circles. So Jeremiah says, "Oh, that I had a wilderness, a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they all be adulterers and an assembly of treacherous men." Treachery comes from within. It comes from within the church. It comes from within the household. Those are the ones that you trust the most that have put the knife deeper in you. Those that you embrace with your closest secrets. Those that you allow into your inner sanctum. Those are the ones that does it to you. As Caesar said, "Brutus, you too," that when they stabbed him to death in the Senate, we sometimes are stabbed or hurt as Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. And he said, "Whence comest thou, my friend?" It's those that you need to be fearful of sometimes. But if you have, and if you're serving the living and true God, you need not be fearful of them, but you have to walk circumspect of them. He says, "They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. for they proceed from evil to evil. And they know not me, saith the Lord. That's dangerous. You need to find out whether the people you're with, the people you're eating with, the people that you have any kind of intermingling with, whether they really know God or not. He says, take ye heed every one of his neighbor, and trust ye not in any brother. For every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. As they talk to you, they're trying to devise a way to get back into your house to steal what you have there. They're trying to find a way to get to your wife. They're trying to find a way to covet and get to your husband. It's more men, wives are stolen, more wives, husbands are stolen by their best friends than anything else. Before long, that friend has your husband and gone because you confided in her of all your weaknesses and what's going on in your home, and she used that as ammunition against you. Young men out talking with their friends about their girlfriends or wives, and that man or woman goes back and use that as something to lure and trap that spouse or that girlfriend away from that very friend of theirs. That's what a lot of the death is coming from in this nation. It's because of treachery. And treachery brings this because you feel so betrayed. You feel so alone, so destined, that you don't know who you can trust if you can't trust those that are closest to you. When a husband starts to look beyond the home and the wife starts to look beyond the home, the other one feels so betrayed. How many years I've given this person after I've lost my strength and my health, now my charms and my beauties, no longer that which he loved, the she loved, is attractive to him. Now they've gone to another, they're looking at another, and depression sets in. See, but you don't need to run to the bed. You don't need to run within yourself and hide. You have to run to God. You don't need, as Jeremiah says, that place where a wayfarer need to go. Run to the rock. Run to Jesus Christ. He'll give you strength to get over those moments. He'll give you strength to love your enemy. He'll give you strength to love that husband or wife that has betrayed you. But you have to come out from among them. He knows your situation. He knows what's going on. Just as Jacob supplanted Esau. As he came out, he was a supplanter, an underminer. There are those that are undermining you. If we look in the book of Revelation, we will see that in that church, Jesus Christ told them that Revelation 2, the first church that he wrote to, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things said he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thine works and thine labor and thine patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. How long you've been in this church? How long you've been in that community? And those that say that they did with your leaders, your political leaders, your religious leaders, your pastors, they're liars. You found that the preacher lied more than anybody else in that neighborhood. Jesus said, do as the Pharisees command you, for they sat in Moses' seat. Do all that they bid you. In other words, they were preaching the word, but he says, do not like they do though. You see, that's a hypocrite, a person that says one thing and does another. Don't do as he do. Listen to the word, because in the last day, that's where man's going to trap you at. It's through religion. They're going to preach the word, and a lot of them will change that word. That's the problem we have with this political thing that opened my eyes up so much, that they said this nation was going to change if this guy become president, because it'll be a new way of campaigning, a new way of going, because the new status would be that you don't have to do what you say you're going to do. You don't even have to remember what you say, that you can lie, steal, and connive and still become the president of the United States. You don't have to, even though they have it on tape, things that you stood for and that you said year ago or 2 years ago, they have that on tape. You don't have to stick with that. You can change your mind. See, but biblically, the Bible tells us that those are unstable in their, all their ways. But he was going to fix it so that since your heart is not right and you love that type thing, that you believe a lie. He was going to send such a strong delusion that you were going to believe these lies because something in you loved lies. See, that don't get you off the hook just because the political system is corrupt. It don't get you off the hook just because the churches are corrupt. Because he told you false prophets are going to come in the last days, and he was going to send those false prophets. Now, he says he knew their works, he knew their labor, he knew their patience, and that they tried those that they say they were. He said, and has borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and have not fainted. So you hadn't given up. You've been working in Jesus' name. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. What? These people are fallen, he says, though. And repent and do the first works. So don't give up. Don't get depressed. But come out from among them spiritually. You have to be born again. That's the circumcision. You have to be circumcised of heart to change your mind. He says, else I will come to unto thee quickly and will remove thine candlestick out of its place, except thou repent. That's what he told him in Luke. You shall all likewise perish except ye repent. And he said, you have those that hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans there. You hate those different deeds that the people are doing. It's as the nuns we know of. I told you about the nuns several different times, that they're fighting within their church. Their bishops in the upper hierarchy of the Catholic Church are going against these nuns because the nuns see the oppression coming from the political leaders in the Catholic Church, the religious leaders and the political leaders, that this is not Catholic doctrine. You remember I told you they got into it with Paul Ryan. Because their measures, even though they seem right, and they're saying things as Bible may have had it, but they're not interpreting it correctly. That's what Satan did with Jesus. He came quoting scripture to Jesus, but see, that's why we got to know God. He wasn't quoting it correctly or wasn't interpreting it correctly. And Jesus had to change and tell him exactly what the meaning of those things was. And that's what they're saying. Well, your policies oppress the poor. They take advantage of those that we're supposed to uphold and stand for. And that's why I say we pray for these sisters, because according to Revelations 21 and 8, we will have to give account now. In the last days, it says, we must remember not only for our enmity of the things that we do against God, oppose the truth, but also for our cowardice in defending the truth. We can't be silent and just say, I'm not in this, I'm not a part of it. Jesus said, you either for me or you against me. Revelations 21 and 8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part which in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful. You remember I told you Wednesday night in Bible study that there are some people that are just fearful, that are just scared. And he says, the fearful among you, let them get back. Get those people away from around you, because that breeds a spirit of fear around you. And that'll cause you to lose the battle, because the enemy can sense fear. And God hadn't given us a spirit of fear, but a boldness. A boldness. No matter how small you are, I don't know if you read today's paper or not, but two more members of the House were taken away of the State House in Louisiana here. Their commission was taken away on the board that they sat on because they didn't go along with the governor trying to stop the group pension plan for state workers. So Jindal friends had them removed because those people came out from among the crowd. They're not going to join in to do evil. Because these people do evil, and God says they plan to do mischievous. They lie, they deceive, and they have cunning and crafty works, and they don't even blush. Amongst this whole thing, he's complaining now of what the federal government didn't do for Louisiana that it did for New Jersey and New York. And that's one thing I always tell my kids. Don't tell me what I did for another one. I'm doing this. See, when God sets someone in power, that's just like disagreeing with God what he shall do. That's what that's what Peter did. He says, Lord, it be not so to you. We have to drink of the cup the Lord give us to drink. We have to take whatever God places upon us. And he's reveling against he's out of state again now, reveling against that same government. He's petitioning for 100% reimbursement. That same government that he's campaigning for, that the man that he's campaigning for says he's against that government, he's against FEMA, and that he would cut it off, and that he would replace it, and that it should be left up to states. But after this storm on the coast, he changed his mind because he have to change according to popular belief, because he have no core. He have nothing that he actually believe in. So he's tossed about by every wind of doctrine. So it's popular now to stand for FEMA and to stand for the results that the federal government do. So that's the way the wind blows with him. And that's the way the wind blows with our governor, because he's just a puppet along with the rest, and anybody that comes out from among them shall suffer. But see, God's people shall not be fearful. If you die, you die. That's what Esther say. She couldn't be fearful of going before the king. If she dies, she dies. That's what Jesus says. Fear not him that can kill the body. You have to be able to stand for principles of God. You have to be able to stand for God's principles. So, he says, he had given us that power to stand. And that's why I think the nation evolved as it evolved today, because of the Constitution that the United States has. You have certain rights other nations don't hadn't had, and you can stand against the scorpions. Because just as he was telling, Jeremiah there was saying that the whole assembly are treacherous men, how they dealt, he says, and they, verse 5, and they will deceive everyone his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Thine habitation is in the midst of deceit. You live in the midst of deceit. That's why the New Testament says for us to walk circumspectively. We have to walk carefully, because it's a trap. Satan, as a roaring lion, goes about to devour whom he can devour. You live in the midst of that. Though through deceit they refuse to know me, he says, saith the Lord. Now, what happens is, look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel says the same thing. He told Ezekiel the very same thing, and Ezekiel was in Babylon. He was a prophet of the captivity. And he had to watch his people and the Babylonians to where he was carried to. Because, you know, there were many Jews that profited in captivity, and they stayed in Babylon because they loved money. They refused to know God. They knew what the word of God said, but they loved deceit more. They love darkness rather than light. That's why God thus sent the delusion unto them. Ezekiel 2, 3 through 7 reads, and he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that had rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impotent children and stiff-hearted. I do not send thee unto them, and I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house. They may not hear you. They may kill you. They may stone you. That's why he told Jeremiah, he says, you're going to have to go to whoever I say go to. Don't fear to look on their faces. Don't fear to stand up to them. That's why we see people at times, God gives us that ray of hope and that ray of light within this state to see a few men stand up to the status quo, to see a few come out from among this world system. And it's prevalent in this state. We have a problem here. We have a deep problem just as we have a problem in the nation. It's not going away Tuesday with the election because those people are still here. That percentage that think that way is still here. So God keeps warning them. But whether he says they're not going to hear them, they're not going to listen because that's their nature. How can you change what a person are? How can a leper change his spots? He says, yet ye shall know that there had been a prophet among them. So you have to tell them and that God is among them. And if the conscience of these legislators don't just keep telling them, they'll think that God hadn't warned them. But even though you present your body as a sacrifice, you may lose your standing. You may lose your job. But you have to do as God tell you. Don't be fearful. Don't be scared. He says, and thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. You remember when that seed was sown, as it grew up, briars and thorns choked it out. They're going to try to choke the word of God out of you. The world will try to choke that word out. The world is thorns and briars. That's the curse that God pronounced on the world. That these was going to grow up. That's that second seed. That's the seed of Satan. Those that say they were children of Abraham, and God says, no, you of your father the devil. He was a liar in the beginning. He said, and thou dwelt among scorpions. He wasn't talking about literal scorpions. He was talking about people that were just as deadly to you, just as poisonous. Be careful, they're scorpions. As though as we tell you, if I say, watch him, he's a snake in the grass. Well, I'm not talking about a little rattlesnake, am I? If I say, watch him now, he's a scoundrel. He's a snake in the grass. He says, be not afraid of their words. So we know he's not talking about scorpions because scorpions don't speak. He says, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. For they are most rebellious. You see, here comes the power, Brother Dan. It's in the New Testament. When you're born again, see, that circumcision that God gives you is of the heart. That's when you have power, that regeneration, that new heart he gives you. These people, if you would look at it, whether they be circumcised or not, was an outward sign. It's just like baptism is an outward sign that identifies. You can have a sign but not have the actual thing. Look at verse 25. It says, behold, the day is coming, saith the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Egypt, Judah, and Edom, and the children of Ammon and Moab, they that are at the uttermost corners, and that dwell in the wilderness, for all these nations are uncircumcised, and all the house of Israel are uncircumcised in heart. They were circumcised in flesh, but their hearts. That's why Jeremiah said he was going to give you a circumcision of heart. He was going to give you a new heart, a heart to love him, a heart to walk in his way. The new birth, the baptism, the power to overcome these things, because they couldn't overcome because this was just a flesh. And Paul said, circumcision profits you nothing. In the book of Romans, he said, circumcision profit nothing. He says, Romans 2nd chapter, he says that circumcision didn't profit them anything, whether they be Jew or Gentile. Circumcision is of the heart. Romans 2:28 and 29. So we have to have a spiritual circumcision. Because look at the power he gives his disciples. In the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, 18 verse, it says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, that's what the New Testament, that's what that circumcision does. It gives you power to tread upon that. Now, to y'all people in parts of Texas and Kentucky and Tennessee, we're not talking about snake handling. The serpents and scorpions are men. These are evil and wicked men. These aren't animals that we're fighting here. These people that proceed and tell you this, the false prophets and things, that's why I say, over religion over the years, religion has given you the wrong metaphors. It didn't give you the wrong euphemism. It's then given you the wrong hyperboles. It's then given you all types of wrong speech, because they that were reading or studying the Bible were of the flesh. And we know that the scriptures is not to fleshly men. That's why after the scriptures are expounded, they come back later and try to counterfeit all these things. That's why in the latter days, Satan will arise with counterfeit lying signs and wonders. Because those only fool or deceive the people that are flesh, that are carnal, that depend on eyesight and not upon spiritual. That's why he says, he that heareth, that had an ear to hear, let him hear. See, the preachers can fool you by preaching the word of God that doesn't have impact on you, that they don't know you, that they don't know God. If you read Hosea, let's go to Hosea. That was a prophet that spoke God's word. The fourth chapter. Remember he said his people didn't know him? See, my people, he says, perish for a lack of knowledge. And in the end time, that's why he says, though that he said was his people, are not his people. Chapter 4 and 1 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord had a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land." That's what the nuns was telling the people. This is not merciful that you're doing. This is not compassionate. This guy tried to show compassion, and I had an article that to bring to you that he was in Massachusetts and New Hampshire, 250,000 in one place and 260,000 in the other place, was without lights, water, food. The storm had hit there. Why would he get on a jet and go all the way to Ohio and go have his people to go to Walmart and buy canned goods or something and say he was sending them back to, and they say, they had to tell him New Jersey because he didn't know where to send them. He could have went right down the street to his house in New Hampshire and talked some, helped some of that 260,000, or he could have went right to Massachusetts. In the state in which he was governor of, 42% of the people disapprove. You know, he's losing by 42 points because they know of him. They know of him. So Hosea says, this is the controversy that he has with the people. He says, "By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out and blood toucheth blood." This state, as the governor was petitioning for more money, why should, as God says about the servant that he gave one talent, that he gave two talents and five talents, if you're not using the talent I give you, why should I give you more talents? Now, the guy he replaced in the healthcare system series, I think he was making a little under $200,000 a year. But the guy that Jindal, since this guy stood up to him, he replaced him with a guy, Opala something is the guy's name. This guy works part-time in that job. In other words, his contract says he could work on other jobs. but the state's paying him for his part-time work for the same job that he took away from this man that was making under $200,000 a year. The state's paying him $408,000 a year on part-time in this job. And the people love this. They go along. That's what religion, that's what showed me religion in Louisiana didn't mean what it's what religion should mean. If that's where he went to all these religious institutions, what made him governor, what made him the leader of this, we have a problem. So what happens is, he says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. My people, verse 6, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge, because they have has rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thine God. I will also forget thine children. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore I will change their glory into shame. So, but they'll lay a decision. They think they're rich and have much, but they don't know that they're naked, poor, and rich, because they're counting on material goods. And God says that material goods will not profit this people. He says, though they run to their defense cities, they run to all these things. He says, verse 21 of Jeremiah 9 chapter, for death is come into our windows, is entered into our palaces, to cut all the children from without and the young men from the streets. Speak thus, saith the Lord, even the carcass of men shall fall as dung upon open field, and as the handful after the harvest, and none shall gather. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him glory in that he knows God. You see, these people don't even have the power to weep. You think this guy has sympathy? Our leader, what we have now? You would have to do as Jeremiah did in those days. This state, this nation doesn't, they're insensitive, and television and thing has promoted this through violence on television and on screen. Nothing shocks the people. They're seeing the aftermath of this storm, and it doesn't shock them. They're insensitive. That's what it says will happen in the latter days. What does it say? Jeremiah says, he says, go. He tells them to weep for the daughter of his people, but they can't do it. They cannot do it because they're insensitive. So he says, verse 17, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, Jeremiah 9:17, consider ye and call for the mourning women, that they may come, and send for cunning women, that they may come, and let them make haste and take up a wailing for us, that our eyes may run down with tears and our eyelids gush with water. Bring in professional women, since this is a cunning people, that the women just as bad as the men, and the women had said, well, the men knew we were doing this. They don't care about the offspring. They don't care about the children. They're self-centered. We need to bring in professional mourners to cry. To mourn. These were people that were paid at funerals to cry, because these people couldn't cry. There's a disease that go around, and the doctors now prescribe. It's called dry eye disease. You know, a lot of people have the tear ducts, can't make tears. You have to put stuff in their eyes so that they can make tears. These people had that naturally. What happened was they were cut off from all sensibility. They were cut off from God. They didn't know God. And see, that's what happens in the last days in the book of Revelations, when those that are coming up, and if I could find it here, it hadn't got my notes all out of line here. But in the last days, as these spirits come from beyond, Revelations 9th chapter, the 9th chapter of Revelations, we're going to start at the first verse. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth. and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit. A lot of people talking about the hole in the ground that these things was going to come out of. The bottomless pit, it's a place of no knowledge. The place of darkness. These were the depths where there was darkness. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. These covered the word of God. There was a famine in the land, a famine of hearing the word of God. This turned to darkness. This was the delusion God was sending upon the people. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and upon them was given power as scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Take note of that. The men that have not the seal of God in their foreheads. If you read the book of Ezekiel, as we were reading where that we were talking about the scorpions, before the angel, a destroying angel, came, just like in Exodus, God had told the angel with this ink horn to go ahead of him and mark out, put a mark on God's people and seal them. That's the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, because it's not possible for the evil of the false prophet to deceive God's very elect. These prophets, these false prophets, the ministers of Satan that God has sent, allowed to come, because he said he had seen, Jesus said he seen Satan fall from heaven as it was lightning. That's in the book of Luke, where we were, the 10th chapter and 18th verse. He says, I said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I've given unto you powers to tread upon serpents and scorpions. So he gave those that were born again of the Spirit power to overcome these powers. But to those that rejected knowledge and rejected God, they were going to be in darkness. These are the spirits that are in darkness. God, by his Spirit, that Holy Spirit, he used that same Spirit to go and preach to the spirits that were in darkness. These wasn't the spirit. When it says the spirits that was in prison, these were the ones in captivity held by darkness. These were the ones that were being deceived by the false prophets. That's why I say in some of the churches, there are God's people in all different forms of the churches. And God had not called them out geographically, but they hadn't blended in with the churches. That's why even those that were standing around the cross, he said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they're doing. Because sometimes you get caught up in things. And, you know, I felt for this guy. And, you know, now that's why I say God's going to save a remnant. If you see where he says, he keeps on. Now, they wasn't going to be able to hurt the elect. They weren't going to be able to deceive the elect. If we go back to where we were in Jeremiah, it says that God was going to sit as a refiner. God was going to sit as a refiner, and he was going to refine the people. If we would look at Jeremiah, the 6th chapter, in the 28th and 29th verse, he says, they are grievous revolters, walking with slanderers. They are brass and iron, they are all corruptors. He says, the bellows are burned and the latest consume the fire. The founder melted in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate civil shall men call them, because the Lord had rejected them. So amongst all these wicked, God is doing a refining action on them. And he plucks them, as Zechariah says, in the 3rd chapter of Zechariah, as Joshua stood before him and had filthy garments, in that God plucked him away and saved him as a brand plucked from the fire. That's the way he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a lot of people that God allows to escape just like Lot escaped with the clothes on his back. I told you the other week, this Governor Chris Christie was saying all manner of things about Barack, about the president, couldn't find the light switch and what type leader he wasn't, and all these things. But when God sends punishment, God sends things and brings things to judge his children, and it rains on the just and the unjust. When this calamity came, these two men God brought together. And this man realized the things he had said and done. We don't know what God put in his mind, but we know as a witness, he said, this president has stood as a leader. He's called me 6 or 7 times. He's given me all sorts. And he gave him all kinds of accolades and accommodation. And I think he sincerely meant this from his heart. And on Fox, they showed a thing on one of these shows about somebody was questioning him from Fox News. They say, look, I don't want none of this foolishness. But do it look like I have politics on my mind? He didn't want to hear from that camp of brood of vipers he was running with. He, his heart was on his people, and he seen what was brought and who to stand with and what to stand with. Sometime God punishes us in such a way. It may be coming from a bad marriage. It may be coming off of a divorce. It may be losing a job. It may be just all these things. I wish I'd have listened. I see who's on my side now. I was blind, but now I see. And sometimes God refines you. You'll be the better for it. I think this changes his life. This changes his mind. God will move heaven and earth to save his children and bring them back. Bring them back to the fold where he is. Notice that God sends the bitterness into their heart. He says in verse 15 of the 9th chapter, therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts of Israel, behold, I will feed them. He says, I will feed them, even this people. He's talking about his people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. That's the same thing they tried to do the Savior on the cross. God reverses it. God brings out vengeance upon the people. This is false prophets. This is the false word he's going to give them. He's going to give them a religion that's just like them. They're deceivers, and he's going to give them a deceiving religion. He says, I'll send such a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. This is what they are. And the spirit is drink, but he's going to give them a false spirit. A spirit that's not of him. A spirit that's more like they are or what they do. Because what had they did? Isaiah 28, 14 verse tells you. Isaiah the 28th chapter and the 14th verse tells you what they had did. He says, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come upon us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid. You can't hide from God. You thought that you could build a tower that can reach to heaven. But God came down and saw what the people were doing. He says, look, the people have become one. They've united under a lie. A lot of people look at that Tower of Babel and they say, well, why was God saying that the people could do that? But why did he scatter the people? Because they were being self-centered in what they were doing. Their security was going to be in their wealth. It was going to be in their self. It was going to be in individualism. And God says, nothing shall be withheld from them, because you have billionaires trying to buy this election. You have people that making people fearful of other people. As a leader of the church, you shouldn't make your people scared of you, a voice what they think or what they think should be if we all of God. Why would you fire a man for standing up in something that may help you? There was a poor man that saved a city, it says, but after the savior of that city, they forgot who this man was. That's what the book of Proverbs says. You see, you want the glory. You want all of these things. So he came down and he scattered the people at Babel because Nimrod was the builder of this city. And he said, this guy was a hunter of men before the Lord. See, this man was capturing other men, destroying other men. He was going to be the leader. He was going to be the center and the focal point. That's where all the god and goddess worship of the Baalims come from. Babylon, Nimrod, and his mother. And that's where Christmas and all of these holidays proceed from. Let them establish it here. That's what they're saying. This is the Babylon. So I said God scattered them at the Tower of Babylon. What does God say in the 16th verse of Jeremiah? He says, I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them. He was going to scatter. We preached on God scattering. It is God that scattered. So he came down and he scattered those people again. And he scattered them during that time. See, God has to judge those that are wicked because we, as the remnant, we have to fear God. We have to stand up to that which is wicked. But we're sacrificing our lives, as they said, all the day long we are killed for thine word's sake. But he wants us to rejoice in this. As I conclude this, this is what we need to look for amongst this generation. Amongst things going all wrong, he says, these things shall happen. Earthquakes, famines, the weather. This wasn't Al-Qaeda. This wasn't some terrorist. God has said the earth shall help the woman. Here it is, the forces of nature was the October surprise. See, God can bring nature. What are they saying now? Well, let's build again. Let's fortify and make walls that the water can't do this to. See, that's what they're thinking. They're not thinking, let me consider my ways. See, because after a while, you can have yourself in ironclad everything trying to protect yourself from one another instead of following God. The mayor is kind of upset now, but the people that didn't allow him, they said, well, we're not going to have the New York Marathon. At first, he said they was going to have it. But they said, well, that would be just too much. But the Giants and the Steelers still go play. They say, well, let us distract our mind with sports. Get our mind off things that's going on. But God tells his people, he says, verse 24. But let him that glorieth in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Behold, the day is coming, said the Lord, that I will punish all of them that are circumcised with the uncircumcised. You seen some multi-million dollar homes out there on Jersey Shore, didn't you? How many mansions and things you seen in the water? Staten Island, all these other places. God had no respect of person, never how much money. But those that you say, those that you cater to are partakers. The Letterman show was on that very night. Parts of the city had lights and they continued on. But that's not how God does it. United we stand. And that's what the president was saying. We have to all pull together here. We have to stop trying to divide and stop this partisanism. But see, a lot of us don't have a discerning mind. That's why Solomon says better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than a house of merriment and with a lot of feasting. If you have God's peace and God's joy, rejoice in that. Some people don't have anything. You know, it's a lot of homeless people out there that's not even looking for work. They're happy that they're out of that rat race. It's a lot of people out there say, well, man, you're talking about getting married. Man, I wouldn't marry. I wouldn't do this anymore or whatever. Because it's Solomon found out that everything is vanity and vexation of spirit. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. But you know why Solomon said that? He was a man under the sun. See, but if you're living by the spirit, you'll know that those children are around you. God had made you a fruitful vine. And someone was telling me the other day, say, well, you know, your children really return to you, or your children this. I said, no, don't give me no thanks for that. I thank God. It's not me. I thank God for them. I thank God that I endured the time. I thank God. I was telling my wife, I said, you're a good woman. I thank God for this 30-some years we've been together. You see, you have to be for thanks. I didn't say thanks for a mansion, thanks for cars, and thanks for things. I thank God for anything. I say in all things, in prayer and supplication, give thanks unto God. Let your request be known to God. If you seeking God, all these things will be added unto you. And you will value those things he add unto you. That's why you'll come out from among them. You won't be a liar and a betrayer as some people are. You won't be a divider. You'll seek to know and understand. That's what you rejoice in, that you know God. Heavenly Father, help us to know you more about the Lord God. As the apostle said, help us to know you in your suffering, Lord God. For we fill up that measure which is lacking. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to understand one another and to love one another. Lord God, help us, Lord God, to pray unto you and walk and be led by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, let us be delivered from all lying, Lord God, all superfluity of the flesh. Lord God, all things that are contrary unto you, purge from us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Would you pray?